Good morning and welcome to The Morning Voice. Matt, you know, Molly Sheridan has nothing over you. You do a marathon every single week, 5 days a week. You're in that control room taking care of our Morning Voice hosts. So you're pretty welcome back, and hope you enjoyed your vacation.
I ran one marathon in my life, Dr. Ed.
You did run one.
One, exactly one marathon.
Yeah.
And it took a lot of training and practice, and to do seven on seven continents in 7 days.
Amazing.
It's just incredible. And then to kind of spike the football, run one
at the North Pole.
Sea ice, yeah. For God's sakes, in sub-zero conditions.
Yeah.
Good for her, man. I just got my respect.
Yeah, I was sitting there saying my measly 10,000 steps a day
exactly
is like,
right.
Oh my God.
Hey, I got 10,000 steps today.
most active individuals get 20,000 steps, and I'm making a big deal about getting 10,000 steps in. So welcome back. Hope you're feeling better.
Absolutely.
Speaking of, good
job on Wednesday.
That was kind of fun, wasn't it?
Excellent program. This podcast is up. So
yeah, what a great we had the general manager of Channel 13, Rob Baino, and the general manager of Channel 9, Treg White, and we were talking about the state of local television. Grant's out of town, so we filled in for him, Sixto and I, and we had a really great conversation. I think we learned something new about the state of television coming up. Hey, before we get started, a little food for thought here. We are reminded that our next Eat and Greet is Thursday, July 24th. That's coming up here next week, right? On Thursday at the Javelina at the Doubletree Hotel by Hilton at Reed Park, Tucson. That's across the street from the Randolph Golf Complex there. Our guest hosts and our host will be there. Hopefully Matt and some of the crew will be there. I'll be there. Bill will be there. So hopefully you can come by and enjoy some adult beverages, and maybe you'll sit down and have some delicious Javelina food. If you haven't been to the Javelina lately, it's gorgeous, all totally remodeled, and it's beautiful, and we're looking forward to that. That's on Thursday the 24th. Well, today we're talking success stories, and speaking of success, we have three young gentlemen who are very successful in their own right. Even though they've just started out, they've accomplished a lot already in their lives. Good morning, Christopher Lay.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Good morning, Brandon Lay.
Good morning.
Glad
to be here.
And good morning, Andrew Lee.
Good morning.
This is a little funny thing because their mother and father, the father says Lay and the mother says Lee. And the reason she says Lee because she told me the story, but I know her as Lee. But Dad, when he announces himself, he says Lay. So I'm teasing the boys and calling them Lay and Lee. What do you guys say?
Say a mixture of
both. Depending on who you're talking to.
Yeah,
depending on who you're talking to. So I'm going to call you Lee just because that's just the way I know your mom. So, well, this is the three of them are the Lee brothers, and they are started a new company called FinClair, the FinClair Group, which is an accounting. So before we get talking about that a little bit, let's start with you, Christopher. Let's talk first about a little bit about your college education and what your specialty is. So just tell us what you got at the U of A and what you do.
Yeah, so I'm from Tucson, Arizona, born and raised. Went to school for computer science, graduated with a bachelor's degree at the University of Arizona. After that, worked as a software engineer for a couple summers at a social media company. And, you know, that experience taught me a few things. I really enjoy building systems and workflows and problem solving. What I don't really like is sitting at a desk working on a small project that's so far separated
from right.
the goal of the business. I want to work with people. I want to build relationships. I want to help businesses grow,
right?
Which is why I decided to start this business with my brothers.
Right.
And it's been great. It's been really rewarding so far.
Yeah. I think it's kind of interesting that you did the website for your for your company.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, Bill does our websites for our people, and
okay.
You know, Bill builds them out of templates and so forth. You built the website.
Yeah.
You did the computer. I mean, you made a website, which means you made it, and that's pretty amazing. Brandon, what's your you're working in the industry a little bit now. Tell us about your education and what you do.
Yeah, so I graduated from the U of A as well, and a bachelor's in accounting, and, you know, my parents were very transparent with us since the beginning, you know, talking about payroll, taxes, and like business operations from a young age. So we've all kind of developed the same mindset on what we think should improve in the business. Mm-hmm. And we kind of cohesively brought our ideas together to start this business.
That's great. And you're an accounting specialist, right? That's what you do, is the accounting side of work.
Yeah, and I'm focused mainly on tax now, tax planning.
And Chris, you're a QuickBooks specialist as well, right?
Yes.
So you've gotten that certification, so you know all there is to know about QuickBooks. So Andrew, you're the one that's the world traveler, just got back from overseas and getting ready to go out again probably, right? Just do some
next
more there you go.
Next
yeah. So he's the guy, he's trying to drum up international business for us here. So he's on the road a lot. Tell us your little story.
Yeah, I'm also a recent graduate with a computer science degree. I didn't really know what I wanted to do.
Right.
Post grad, all I knew was that I wanted to help people out.
Right.
This kind of gave me an opportunity to kind of jump in on what we were starting and aligned with what I wanted to do.
You're also trying to do some accounting, but you also are getting your real estate degree too, right?
I'm also getting my real estate license
Maybe you guys will be getting, one of you will be getting your insurance certificate eventually here. And
hopefully.
So you guys are doing all sorts of different things. But the idea behind this is to launch FinClaire, which is a bookkeeping, accounting, business services company. So tell us a little bit about that, Chris. What inspired you and to get FinClaire going?
Sorry. Yeah, so it's kind of been a dream for all of us to start a business together. And working with our parents in the restaurant industry, we see how hectic it can get, especially during tax season.
Right.
And how beneficial it is for businesses of all sizes to have that financial clarity, to be aware of the vital signs of their business. And I think we can provide that for a lot of businesses, especially smaller businesses that can't afford a full salary for an accounting person or accounting department. We can provide all those services for a fraction of the price. And it's all, you know, virtual. I mean, we're here local in Tucson, but
121 South Langley, right?
Yes.
Yeah. We were working on the logo and the name and so forth and going around and around on that. So Brandon, what does FinClaire mean? What is the significance when you guys decided to come up with that name? You guys speak French, so that's why you that's why you came up with FinClaire, right?
So we kind of just brainstormed like a list of ideas, and we started to discuss, you know, financial clarity, and the name kind of encompasses what our goal is for the business and our clients.
Right. So financial clarity, and back to Chris's point, this whole idea then of you guys providing, even say you have I just picked up Young's Donut Shop as Robert and Terry work over there. They get to work at 3 o'clock in the morning and they make donuts for us, and they're doing a good job. They're one couple. They got a couple of employees and they work their tails off until about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then they go home exhausted and they still got to do the books.
Right.
And they got to do that. So for smaller companies, it's sometimes good to have somebody on the team that's helping them do that, so they they can concentrate on what they do, which is to make, as you guys are all eating a Young Donut right now, a delicious Young Donut. They're the best donuts you've ever had, aren't
they're
they?
They're good.
They aren't. They're pretty amazing.
Yeah, they're really good.
Yeah. Well, ironically, we're getting close to a break here, but let's talk a little bit about an office at 121 South Langley. We'll talk to you about that, Brandon, because you are the one that kind of got these other two involved in that, but you have a beautiful facility now, and you guys bought it and really, really fixed it up, and it's kind of two-sided approach, but your offices are beautiful, aren't they?
Yeah, it is. And we bought it in the beginning of the year, and it's kind of like a duplex. So one side's a house, and then one side's an office with two small offices and a conference room.
Right.
You know, it's small, but you know, with our size, like, it's perfect for us.
Mm-hmm.
Although, like, all of our clients are mainly virtual.
Mm-hmm.
We do offer, you know, that aspect for clients to come in and talk to us.
One of the things that I noticed, Bill and I, our company's 58 years old, and my father, of course, kept every piece of paper ever from 1968, and you know, he passed a couple of years ago, but we've been spending the last 20 years throwing paper away, because we'd go into our offices and there'd be 12 file cabinets full of files of clients and all sorts of stuff over the years. You walk into your office, there's nothing.
Yeah.
It's, no paper. it's your computers and the three of you sitting there and you are conducting business. It's kind of amazing to watch you in this high-tech era of not having a lot of pieces of paper. Of course, when you're filling out stuff sometimes for the IRS and so forth, you have to have some things that are whatever what they do the what's it called when someone
wet signing?
Yeah. What's it called when the person puts their seal on it and all that? What's that called? Recorder. What is it? Notary.
Notary public.
Oh, yeah. So there are pieces of paper that have to be notarized, right. But most of your stuff is virtual, so that's kind of cool. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about what FinClear is going to be offering and what you guys are doing and some of the cool things that you have planned for each other. And then we'll talk about your world traveling, Andrew, and talk about all the great places that you're going to be. We're with the Lee brothers here from FinClear Group, a financial services company. We're going to come back and talk to them about the services that they offer. You're listening to The Morning Voice. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. We're listening to The Tax Man. Andrew, The Tax Man's an important thing. You're part of the accounting side of this whole thing. You're helping your brothers with the accounting side. And so if a small business or a medium-sized business comes to you and they're working with Chris on QuickBooks and so forth, but they got to get their stuff ready for taxes coming up either on April 15th or October 15th, if you're like the Ackerley family, delay 6 months. Accounting side of it's really important, right?
Yeah.
And what do you do in terms of trying to get the accounting ready for that IRS submission?
So I mainly just do tax prep.
Mm-hmm.
So we work with entrepreneurs and small teams who, you know, are juggling like 100 things.
Right.
And tax should be the least of their worries when they come to us. So I make sure their taxes are automated, and we use modern tools to streamline document uploads and automate the messy parts and keep communication clear and responsive.
Right, and so by the time you get to the point where all the material is in and you've uploaded everything, you're basically pressing a button saying,
yeah,
here's how we go. So if you have it organized through 100%. through the bookkeeping, then having the weekly, daily, monthly bookkeeping and the accounting is in the right place, you guys are pretty adept at just having it all organized, and it doesn't really take that long at that point if you if you have all these inputs in at that time. Why is accounting so important for a business, Brandon?
It's so important because, you know, accounting is basically like the language of business. You know, it involves everything. And that's why bookkeeping is so important, like especially for tax, because they coincide so well with each other. Like if you don't have your books done, it's going to be harder like come tax season or for tax planning, because clients don't really have the full picture of, you know, their financials. They don't know what their profit margin is, like how much money's coming in, like how much money's going out. So I think accounting is, you know, very helpful.
You can make better management decisions based on your own knowledge of where you are, and,
yes,
and accounting kind of gives you a snapshot every day of and every week and every month of who you are, where you are, what you need to do, what you need to concentrate on, what you're doing and spinning your wheels doing over here. You maybe should be over here where the money is. And you guys have even experienced that yourselves. We've talked about how your company is going to grow and how you need to do that. You need to concentrate being out on the streets, talking to clients and being on radio shows, trying to get some clients, right?
Yeah.
So Christopher, what is, you know, you're kind of the catalyst behind this, because you kind of thought that this would be a good thing for you and your brothers to do.
Mm-hmm.
What's your vision for FinClear Group as you move forward here? Of course, as we talked about, maybe some insurance and some other long-term financial planning and so forth would be in the future. But what was your vision when you said, okay, let's do this thing? What were you thinking for the future?
Our main goal is to just help as many businesses as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you are a client with us, we are with you every step of the way. So we're doing your books throughout the year. And then come tax season, you know, we already have your books. And, you know, busy season will be so much easier because of that.
Right.
And
there's a part of confidentiality about that's
right,
really important too.
Mm-hmm.
You take the oath of you know, what you share with you guys, what a person might share about their own personal finances and their company finances, that's between you and them. And later on April 15th, maybe with the IRS needs to know a little bit about that as well. But this confidential.
Just help as many businesses as possible.
Okay.
We want to grow as a firm in the next couple of years and try to be a well-known name in Tucson.
Yeah, well, we're working on that, and right. I got you guys out banging on doors. I saw you were picture of you. You were sitting at Arizona Sands Club. You guys have already joined the Sands Club and are trying to network down there and trying to get your name out. And you're traveling the world, Andrew, to get some international business, yeah. And that's working out great. Tell us a little bit about how people would get a hold of the Lee brothers at the FinClear Financial. Where do they go to get that information? What do they go see? What's the website? Where's your location? What's your phone number? Those kind of things.
So, like you said, we're at 121 South Langley Ave. Our website is finclairgroup.com, and that's FinClair, FinClairGroup.com. You can visit our Facebook page, or you can call...
Call Christopher's number. What's the number there?
It's 520-471-5960.
Okay.
Also, I want to say the Facebook page is FinClair Bohemian Tax.
Okay.
Yeah. We post weekly on there.
Great. And you're giving some suggestions and so forth.
Yeah, some helpful tips, some personal things, you know.
Yeah. I will just say you specifically and all three of you, but you specifically as a QuickBook experts as you go, but... a lot of companies are using QuickBooks or other software, but QuickBooks is probably the biggest one that people use. It can be daunting at times for a person who doesn't really know exactly what all those things are, that what clearing means and, you know, what is barter and, you know, these other things. You pull down these menus and so forth. And if you're not really adept at it, you can get your books screwed up pretty quickly, can't you?
Yeah. Yeah. So QuickBooks is probably the largest bookkeeping software in the U.S.
Right.
And it's great because it has all these amazing features, you know, hundreds of features. But at the same time, it takes several hours to really learn the software to get all the benefits out of it.
Right.
But a pro advisor like myself will be able to utilize these features and at the same time help my clients, you know, with setup, dashboards, financial reports. And that's really the benefit of having a pro advisor on your team.
So Brandon, what kind of companies, if we have some listeners who maybe already have an engagement, of course you don't want to steal any clients from anybody else, but what kind of customers are you looking for? Who is a really, if you were to identify, that company there probably needs our services. So what is working for you now, and what kind of company do you think you guys should have?
In terms of like clients that we serve,
yeah, or that you, if they were listening and say, well, should I go with FinClair? What do they have for me? Who should be your primary customer?
Well, Tucson, you know, has a very diverse group of businesses, and the benefit of accounting is that we can serve many different industries. Like right now, we're doing restaurant business, nail salons. A lot of service-based industries really need our services.
Which is really interesting because, by definition, a service industry, whether you're a pool cleaner or you're providing landscaping services or you're providing restaurant services, you are providing it, which means you are tied up most of the day providing the service, which then you have to go home and do the books at night.
Yes, exactly.
And so you kind of fill that niche of providing those services so they can do what they do best.
Yeah, we kind of act in a way like an outsourced CFO. So that way, you know, it relieves all like the financial aspects of the business so that you can focus mainly on like what you do best, you know, marketing or
growing your company
right.
And your operations.
And planning is important, Andrew, right? To plan into the future, you know, If we're here today and we're going to be in the Christmas season here soon, and we've got, do we ramp up with more employees? Do we cut back? Do we do more advertising? What do we do? So the planning aspect in the future is important. When they come see you, you can kind of give them that crystal ball for the short range and the long range, right?
For sure.
And what about retirement portfolios and those kinds of things? You're working on that, right, as part of the services, Chris, that'll be part of the stuff that you offer?
Yes. Later on, we'll get more into tax planning, retirement planning,
investments, things like that.
Right. So you two are products of the Catalina Foothills High School experience. You're a product of South Point High School. Your parents struck it rich and hit the lottery and decided that they would send you to South Point.
He was there for one semester.
Okay, yeah. But you went to Catalina Foothills for a while too?
For one semester.
Yeah. And your sister went back to Catalina Foothills as well.
Yeah.
So you guys are products of Tucson, Arizona, and the high schools here. But what's really important, you're products of the University of Arizona, and you're staying in Tucson, and you're opening this company called FinClair Group. Again, what's that website?
FinClairGroup.com.
Great. And it's Christopher, Brandon, and Andrew Lee, who are the principals here. They're wonderful young men. And if you have a company or a business that needs some help with bookkeeping, accounting, or planning, these are the guys to call. And if you don't get FinClair Group down and you want to talk to them, give me a shout. I'll get you in touch with them. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI. Thanks, guys, for coming in this morning.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am Dr. Red Ackerley, your host. In studio with me is my brother Bill and Adam, our 45 more days intern from the University of Arizona Master's Program and the Eller College of Management. This is where we talk about success stories. We got a couple of dates coming up. On Wednesday the 23rd, our friends from McDonald's will be opening up the McDonald's across the street from Park Mall there. It's been there for a long time, but they knocked down the building and built a new one, so we have a ribbon cutting on the 23rd. They'll be in just a little bit to talk about that. We have our eat and greet coming up the next day, which is the 24th. That's at Doubletree Hotel at the Javelina restaurant. Come and enjoy that and be with our hosts and our co-hosts and our guests. We'll be there. Come and enjoy some libations, and maybe you'll buy yourself some dinner. And then we have coming up, we'll be talking about this over the next couple of weeks. We have the Coaches for Charity Kickoff Classic, which is a high school football kickoff. It'll feature Sahuarita High School at Walden Grove. That is Thursday, August 28th, 2025. I mentioned Coaches for Charity because our next guest donated a nice floral arrangement for the Coaches for Charity Bowl-a-thon we had a couple of weeks ago. And her name is Desiree Berman, and she is the owner and proprietor at Forget Me Nots Florist. Good morning, Desiree, and welcome to The Morning Voice.
Hi, good morning, Ed. Thank you so much for having me on today. I appreciate it.
And thank you for that beautiful bouquet. Pat Hirsch was the one that helped facilitate that, and we had a beautiful bouquet that you offered up for that. We got some good money for that, and we were able to raise about $2,500 for Drachman Elementary School for sports equipment for those young kids coming up for the next season, and so we appreciate your donation. Forget Me Not Florence, how'd you get started in the business, Desi?
You know, this is funny. I looked at, I've been looking back at my life and reexamining, and I feel like I was always a florist, but didn't realize it. I've always had a passion ever since I was little. I thought all kids were this way, but every time I saw a dandelion or flower or anything, I showered my mom in flowers. I was her only child, and we were very close. And I thought all kids were that way. And I have my son, and he, of course, he likes flowers, but it's definitely not something he's obsessed with. And I've been obsessed since I was little. My mom got flowers for every single one of her holidays in order to cheer myself up and friends and family or to celebrate events. I have loved creating beautiful arrangements for them or gift baskets. I guess it's my passion. I've since learned about love languages, and everyone has their own, but certainly I have gifted people with my love language of flowers again and again.
That's great. I was teasing you that your business has just kind of bloomed, hasn't it?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And I look back at everything that has fallen into place, and all of the people like Pat Hirsch and the community and all of my neighbors at Sun Creek Shopping Center. Everyone has been so supportive in the Tucson community, and I am so appreciative for that. And and we hope to continue to bloom for years to come.
That's great. So obviously a person who would know anything about a floral shop would know that you offer beautiful bouquets and plants and arrangements for funerals and weddings and anything that someone would need a special event for some flowers for that. But you also offer some gifts too as well. What would you see if someone came in to Forget Me Nots? What are they going to see, and what do you offer?
So I feel like it's kind of like a little girl's dream come true when you walk into my shop. It's Lots of pale turquoise and bright pink and purple. So it looks like very candy colored all over. It is definitely my second baby after my son. I think it is adorable little place. And I let everyone know, anyone who works alongside with me, we only let good energy into the shop. So if we have not the best day or morning or whatnot, we all agree to leave that at the door, and we come in with happiness, jovialness, playfulness, all of those good things. And any of the bad, we do our best to you know, leave outside and just bring the good in.
That's great.
So that's that's what they're going to find. But we do offer, of course, the traditional extras as far as flowers go, with candy, boxes of candy, and stuffed animals. I love to take those and personalize them to match them with the arrangement. So if the arrangement has a beautiful purple bow, I'm going to take that same ribbon and I'm going to adorn the box of chocolates with that purple ribbon, or the bear, etc. And then we also have a few memorial pieces, such as crystal crosses that can be added to arrangements and that the family can still keep as a keepsake for years to come. And I am constantly interested and open to working with local business owners, artisans. I would love to support more. At the moment, I'm in the very back of a shopping center, so we do not get a ton of foot traffic coming through the door. But I would greatly encourage anyone out there who would like to partner with me, especially a female-owned business owner, but any local artisan that would like to partner with me, I'd love to partner to provide some extra gifts or items on our website.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk to Jane Hamilton and see if she can help us. She's a avid listener, and she owns Jane Hamilton Fine Art, and I can see that being a really positive experience for her and for you. Hey, you know, we have a good friend named Bob Schaff, who has been on the show, and he's a friend of mine, and he comes and speaks to my classes at the University of Arizona, and he talks about getting his wife something special, and the question is, you know, obviously those of us that do some of that, we do it on Valentine's Day, and we do it on Thanksgiving, and we do it on Mother's Day, and we do it at those kind of major holidays where you're probably slammed with business, and what he wants to let our students know is that he goes and gets his wife flowers Tuesday, and why? Just because. And to not do it on a day that, you know, everyone's kind of forced into a Valentine's experience, right, by our culture, but just go get somebody, sure, something for somebody on a day and say, hey, I appreciate you. And it doesn't have to be your wife or your spouse or your girlfriend or your husband or whatever. It can be get an arrangement for the office, or get an arrangement for the doctor's office that has taken care of you and done a good job of making you feel better. These just because moments are really important too in the floral business, right?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. And like you mentioned, those are some of my favorite flowers. So just because arrangements are so special and so unexpected. And I always joke with people when people say, well, you know, I missed such and such's birthday, or I missed this holiday or that holiday. I said, you know what? If anyone ever comes to my home or my place of business and they bring me flowers, I'm never going to say to them, you know what? You're just a day too late. You're just a month too late. I'm going to say, oh my gosh, someone thought of me. That's my first thought. That's right. My first feeling. I would think that's all of us, is someone cared enough to spend some time to plan, to arrange something beautiful, or to custom pick out some flowers in the shop, to make that person feel special or loved, or just cheer them up. Like you said, if they have an injury or illness, anything to cheer them up.
I had a moment myself when I was this year, I got to visit one of our local facilities for a couple of days. It was kind of nice to kind of get out of the rat race for a while and let a bunch of people fawn over me and tell me I'm going to live and be alive for a while. And some of my very good friends brought me down floral arrangements and brought them into the room. And it was kind of really cool to have those. And you know what happened? Almost every single day, definitely every single day, probably about 6 or 8 or 10 times a day, the hospital staff would come in and say, oh, those are beautiful flowers. Oh, those are beautiful flowers. And it just brightened up the room and made everybody feel really special. And so, like you say, that feeling of feeling special, that someone has cared enough to do something for you, that's really a powerful tool.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I love it. Those are some of my favorite flowers, and I'm always surprised and pleasantly surprised, especially when I have young men who, you know, we don't always give the youngest amongst us enough credit.
Right.
But some of these young men and women have been raised so well that they think of these just because flowers, and I'm very touched. I know we're all doing a really good job if our kids are compassionate and empathetic enough to care about other people and look outside of themselves altruistically, want to help their friends, family, and then of course their neighbors, et cetera. So
that's great. Yeah. So we'll talk some more. We're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll talk about why flowers and plants are so important and why they brighten the soul. Our guest is Desi Berman. She is the owner of Forget Me Not Florist. And we'll get the information. So if you have a special someone in your life and you want to make a difference today or sometime in the next few days or weeks here, we'll give you the contact information so she can make a special bouquet just for you. This is KVOI 1030 AM, Tucson's live local talk, and you are listening to The Morning Voice. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. Matt, we're on live, aren't we, on Facebook and YouTube, right?
I'll post it later.
Okay.
So I will post the video a little bit later.
Okay. So yes, I see myself up there, and
yes,
I know,
as
they say, I have that face for radio. It's great. Fantastic.
Well, if you do, then it's two of us, pal.
Yeah. Thank you, my friend. We're on with Desi Berman. She is the owner and proprietor of Forget Me Nots Florist. And welcome back, Desi.
Hey. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Do you get flowers?
You know what? That is such a funny question because I do. I actually, this past Valentine's, a local mom and pop delivered flowers to me. My husband ordered, and we love doing that. So we
That's
love supporting
great.
Their. Yeah, absolutely. And so anyway, I did not expect them. I don't always get them, but when I do get them, I'm so surprised and delighted. And as I'm walking home after a very long day, very long couple of weeks for Valentine's preparation, I come home and through the window by my front door, I can just see this voluminous pink arrangement, and I'm giddy before I get through the door. And then when I see it, it's so stunning and beautiful, and it reminds me of my own work.
That's wonderful.
and so do you want to shout out to Janice with Flower Bee, because whenever I'm not available, I always let people know if I'm going to be on vacation or out of town or not available, or if I'm booked up, to reach out to Janice with Flower Bee, because she is a local business owner and she has that kind of quality and the style that I also have in my own work. So, and I let her know that she did not realize when my husband bought flowers from her recently that they were for me, because they went to my home, and so I let her know and how special they made me feel. And I love building relationships with that. And I was glad that my husband provided me with that opportunity to bond with a fellow florist and fellow business owner here in Tucson.
Hey, Desiree, this is Matt. Listen, say you're an overworked, high stress tech executive who, I don't know, maybe hypothetically went to a Coldplay concert the other night and I don't, maybe found himself in hot water. Do you have any advice for somebody in that sort of a situation?
Oh my gosh. You know what? Sometimes people feel like sharing. Sometimes people don't. I will have gentlemen all the time and ladies sometimes come in and they need help. And basically what I would say is, let's circle back to what that friend or loved one's favorites are. Do they dress in bright colors? Do they decorate in bright colors? Or do they like more earth tones or deep, moody, romantic colors? So I would say, let's get back to their favorites. You know, do they have a favorite scent, a favorite style, those type of things? So I'd say, let's circle back to those. Sometimes it's not even flowers that I put together. Sometimes right. Someone will say, well, they don't like flowers. They're more of a plant person. And I have a couple of parrots.
That's good.
But, that's great.
But, they're going to compete. But yeah, so the trend, as in the past few years, has been everybody's crazy about plants. And I'm, as of now, I'm trying to learn more and more about plants And so I'll have people come in and they say, well, okay, my girlfriend, my significant other, it feels like flowers die. They don't last long enough. So I want a plant basket. So I would say, okay, well, let's put together something, you know, a variety of plants, maybe some flowering, some not, or a gift basket. If there's a favorite scent like lavender, we work with what your budget is and then say, okay, I'm going to put together a custom gift basket. I love doing custom items.
It's a shame, Desi, that you're not passionate about what you're doing, that you don't like what you're doing here. It's,
right.
It's amazing listening to you, how your passion for the business is coming across and how dedicated you are to your craft, as you will. We're talking with Desi Berman. She's the owner and proprietor of Forget Me Nots Florist. And, you know, your day is probably a busy day. I know you got a little guy there that you're taking care of, but and you got a husband that you're taking care of and a couple of parrots, but you're a pretty busy day at the floral shop, right? You are there all the time, and you're making beautiful things on a regular basis, so you have a pretty busy day, don't you?
You know what? In the beginning, I was there all the time. And now, as you know, with summer months, I try to be there as much as possible. I'm always answering my phone, and my personal number is on the door. So the number that's listed online, the 520-771-1329, that is the number to the store, mm-hmm. to the main store. But after a few rings, if I don't pick up for whatever reason, maybe I'm out and about gathering supplies, I'm at Askren and Sons gathering professional items such as floral foam baskets, etc. So I always encourage everyone. I have a wonderfully boring life. I've been married almost 20 years. I have an honor roll student. He's 11. He's so good. And so I always encourage people, call me directly or text me at the 520-505-0928. Because I want to be there for you. Unfortunately, as a small business owner, I'm not always in the shop, but I want to be there for you as much as possible. And if you don't get me on the phone, I highly suggest you text me. I will get right back to you. If I don't, my husband's a scientist. He's right on top of it. He'll say, okay, I saw on your iPad, you got a text, you need to respond. So he's it truly is a mom and pop.
That's great. And
even though my husband's a planetary scientist of right. nearly 30 years. And so even though he has his own career and his own responsibilities, he's always watching out for the business as well and monitoring emails, making sure that we respond, all of that good stuff, and following up with me. So I highly encourage anyone and everyone, if I'm not there, please don't be discouraged. We get fresh flowers in several times a week, even in the summer. Mm-hmm. But our summer, you know, summer is quite a bit slower here in Arizona. So I try to do other things. I do try to meet with future brides and grooms for the fall season. So sometimes it requires me to meet with them somewhere, meet them right. halfway. Things like that, and I try to be as flexible as possible. But
well, excellent,
yeah,
Desi.
I mean, gosh, I wish a typical day was typical, but it just depends on the day. Sometimes yeah. it's hit the ground running, and sometimes it's a bit slower. But yeah,
that's great. Well, let's keep your business blooming. That is Desi at Forget Me Nots Florist, and you can look her up on the web, or you can give her a call. We thank you for sharing on success this morning. Sounds like you are very successful. And we're happy that you have donated to Coaches for Charity. And thank you for all the good work you're doing in our community, making all of us guys look good. So thank you, Desi. And we'll have you back on in the near future. Thanks for all you do for Tucson.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you for everything that you do. And thank you. Special thanks to Pat Hirsch, a dear friend of mine.
That's great. Thank you. And we're listening to The Morning Voice. Good morning and welcome to The Morning Voice. This is Wonder, where we talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. You know, we often talk about all the terrible things that happen all across our community. When I was running for mayor, I get pinned up against the wall and they would tell me all the horrible things that the city council and the board of supervisors and the governor and government in general and the roads and the parks and the homeless issue and all that. And they would go on and on. And then I'd kind of look at them, I'd say, Why are you still here? And they would gush about Tucson and about the climate and about the University of Arizona and all the good things going on. That's what this program is about. The Morning Voice is about the good things going on in Tucson. I can't think of a better U of A fan of anybody that I know than Mr. Paul Diaz. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for having us.
You are. You make, when we're on ESPN or on one of those, you make the TV fairly frequently because you're right there with the basketball team, and you are one heck of a cheerer, and you follow them around, and you even go to some of their away games. So you're a big basketball fan, aren't you?
Absolutely, yeah.
And you have been for quite a while, haven't you? Yeah,
it definitely did hit a new level with Coach Lloyd. He mm-hmm. makes it real easy to be a fan and support him and what he does and what not only he, his family, his wife,
right.
the whole program do for the community and, the like you said, the positive. And, you know, when our basketball team is doing well, you just sense it in the community mm-hmm. and everybody's talking about it and everybody's hyped about it. And he's a great ambassador for our program and for our community. I can't say enough good things about him.
Yeah, you know, you go to, say, Chicago and you jump in a Uber and you're heading from the airport and they say, hey, where are you from? And you say, well, I'm from Tucson, Arizona. Tommy Lloyd, the U of A basketball team. And they talk about how great Tommy Lloyd is. And he is a great ambassador for our community. So we got to get him on the Morning Voice. So, Paul, you're going to wrangle him and we're gonna get him into the Morning Voice here. Not talk about basketball, but talk about his impact on the community and how important that is for a head basketball coach in a major program like the University of Arizona and what all entails and comes with that, which is a big deal. Well, you're a business person in Tucson. We met almost 15 years ago now when you were just getting started in Tucson, and you own 23 McDonald's here in Tucson, Arizona, and you've done really well.
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it?
I say that, or when somebody says it, or I hear that, it still gets me.
Yeah,
it takes me back and gives me goosebumps. And yeah, we're incredibly blessed and honored to be a part of this amazing community. And that's really the silver lining in what we do. Is, you know, when we moved to Tucson, for a lot of the things that you talked about, weather and the university, and but you get here and then. You become a part of it, and like the real sense of community. It's a big town with a bunch of little things that are just special, right. that you only find in small towns. And and now we have our kids that went away to school, well, grew up here, right. went to school here, and then went away, and then came back, and now they're both working in our family business. And life's good for our family, our organization, and our brand, and a lot of cool things happening at McDonald's.
That's great. And one of your daughters is with us this morning. This is Lindsay Diaz. Good morning, Lindsay.
Good morning.
And thank you for being here, and congratulations to you on becoming part of the executive management team at Diaz Management Company. And you grew up with us with McDonald's, and now you're running your own store. So we'll talk a little bit about after the break. We'll talk a little bit about what's going to be happening at Broadway. What's it like working for your dad at Diaz Management? And he's sitting right here, so he's going to listen to everything you say. So you and your sister are both in management, and we're going up the ladder pretty quick. What's it like working for dad and mom?
Working for my parents is definitely super surreal. It's an amazing experience. It's a great opportunity, and I'm just lucky every day to be able to call my boss my dad, and also my dad my boss.
That's pretty amazing. What's it like working with your daughters, having both your daughters in your company? And they did it by their own free choice. You didn't box them into the corner and say, you guys are going to be McDonald's employees. They both came to you and said, we want to be part of this. So
yeah, there's too much involved, and it's, you got to be all in to do it by force. You've got to do it because it's something that you want and you believe in, and they both do. And I the thing I am most proud of probably is that I tell people they're doing it for the right reasons, and the right reasons is to continue the legacy that, you know, my parents and my in-laws built as immigrants and mm-hmm. coming to our country, and this opportunity that was that they gave to us and just being U.S. citizens. And then Nellie and I, you know, having the opportunity to become McDonald's franchisees. So I really feel like their goal and their focus is to continue that family legacy and make it, you know, a multi-generational opportunity for our family. And you can see it. They're in it for the right reasons. And we're really proud of him. And as we're doing this interview, like, I can't look at her because I'll become emotional, because that's how proud I am of both of them. And so, yeah, we're, like I said, we're in a really good place.
You really are. You have a great organization. You've got that new headquarters over there on Shamrock Road, whatever it's called, Shamrock Place. And how many employees do you have now in your 23 McDonald's in Southern Arizona? Well, how many employees in a roundabout? Well, how many do you think you have?
Yeah, it fluctuates between, you know, summer and prime season, but anywhere between 1,200 and 1,600 employees.
And we're going to add some. There's a hiring day coming up, right? When is that? That's the day before this, right?
Yes, it
so
is.
Tell us a little bit about, if someone wants a job, what are you guys doing on the 22nd from 9 to 5?
Walk into any of our 23 locations. We'll have our people department manager there ready to hire. We're eager. We're motivated. We're looking for anybody and everybody that's willing to work hard and just put in the effort. That's really all it takes to be a McDonald's employee, just having that motivation to want to be.
Kind of like what your dad said, it's all in. You get in, you get into the McDonald's experience. And I think you look at your dad and say, you know, a guy that was putting fries into a basket and cooking them in the Northern California, and all of a sudden he owns 23 stores in Southern Arizona. Just that story alone is an amazing, powerful story for, and you know, and we talk about the University of Arizona. Adam's at the University of Arizona as a marketing master's student, already has his master's degree, just finishing up his internship here. We don't often share, well, by the way, we are, by the way, I have that meeting next Tuesday. You know, students at the University of Arizona sometimes, especially in the Eller College where I am, they don't think, that doesn't pop into their mind necessarily to go work at Walmart or to go work at Target or to go work at one of the major franchises in our community. The opportunity is amazing at McDonald's, isn't it? To grow from, you get hired on the 22nd, but then all of a sudden you're in management, and they can make a lot of money, and they can have a really rewarding career in McDonald's, right?
Yeah, we tell all of our employees, and I can look anyone in the eye, and I'm a prime example that you can literally go as far as you want to go. But you know, for a lot of people, the majority, if it's just a part-time job while you're a stay-at-home mom or while your kids are in school,
or a senior in your second chapter wanting to have something fun
to
do.
Yeah, just need some supplemental income. The great thing is that, yeah, it does pay well, probably a lot better than you thought it did. And the skills that you pick up, teamwork, organizational skills, running a business, inventory management, people skills, planning for a shift, and maintenance equipment, marketing. There's just so many things that it touches. So, you know, we tell our people, we want you to be successful, and you define that success. For somebody, it might be that it's a part-time job while they're going to school and they want to become an engineer. Great, fantastic. We want to support you. If that's what success is for you, we'll be there. We have tuition assistance programs mm-hmm. for our employees. But then again, if you want to become a McDonald's full-time employee and make your career, we'll support that at the same level that we will. You define your own success, and we want to be a part of it. And we tell people that we want successful people working for us and around us. But again, you define that success.
And Lindsay, you're part of that success. You are one of the areas that you get training in, and you're experiencing it right now, is management and leadership, right? And so it's an interesting to go from a person who's maybe just working in a McDonald's and learning the ropes, and then going to McDonald's University and getting that training that you got from a corporate, to come back and start managing people and providing leadership. That's a really important life skill that you're learning and doing well with, right?
Oh, yes. I've kind of learned recently, because I'm on week 3 of being a general manager, and I've learned a little bit that your job is kind of helping with everyone else's jobs. Like, I don't really get to do what I need to do throughout the day. There's so many other, not problems, but things that come up that my team needs my help and they need me for. So being able to be there for them and help out, and if I can't solve the problem, figuring out how to solve the issues or the mm-hmm. little problems that are coming up in the restaurant, with just it being new technology, all these new people are training in a store that have never worked together, right? Or with all this equipment, it's super, I'm learning so many things every day, mm-hmm. and it's honestly rewarding, just all the things I'm learning,
right?
And I'm
sitting here looking at you, thinking about you only being a general manager for 3 weeks, and I'm looking at you, Paul, and I remember back at Broadway and Camino Seco, your first remodel we did together, and had the mayor come out. It was his very first thing. He was a brand new mayor at the time with Jonathan Rothschild, and it was one of his very first activities was to come and cut the ribbon at the McDonald's at Broadway and Camino Seco. And then you had the rebuild from the ground up over at 22nd and Cove. We put a time capsule in the ground. We're going to open that up in a couple of years and see what we put in there, 25 years ago. And where you've come from in your career, from when I met you to now owning 23 and many more to come. And then I look at Lindsay, and she's 3 weeks into a general manager's job, and my mind just naturally goes forward. What's she going to be in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? It's an amazing, amazing thing to see. Hey, we'll take a quick break here. We'll come back. We're talking with Paul Diaz and Lindsay Diaz. They're with Diaz Management Company and McDonald's, and they had a brand new building that we're going to cut a ribbon for next week, and we'll talk about the good things going on at McDonald's. This is KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice, and you are listening to The Morning Voice. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. It is McDonald's. What a great, fantastic company that has been around for a long time. I don't know about you, but I grew up with McDonald's, and I remember going to Palo Verde High School playing football, and everybody else would run out to the 19 poles on 22nd Street and drink beer, and I would go across the street to your McDonald's and about near Palo Verde there and have a cheeseburger and fries and go home and say hi to my folks. So I was one of those stick-in-the-muds. I made up for the 19 poles, Matt, later in my life. I still trying to make up for it. So
okay. Starting later is always better.
And at the eat and greet, you'll get evidence of that.
Thank you.
We're with Paul Diaz and Lindsay Diaz. Paul and Lindsay are part of Diaz Management. Of course, Paul and Nellie are the owner-operators of 23 McDonald's here in Southern Arizona. And their daughters are both going to be in that stead. They're working their way towards that. They're getting, as Adam's got getting his master's in marketing, you guys are getting your master's in McDonald's management, and that's great. So you've got a ribbon cutting coming up on the week. It's a Wednesday this coming week. Tell us a little bit about what's going on the 23rd.
On the 23rd at 10 a.m., we'll be so happy to welcome anybody and everybody. For our ribbon cutting, we're going to have a mariachi band, the Mariachi Estrella Juvenil.
Yeah, your Portuguese is good, so I like that. So.
Yes, and we'll also have some officials as well, the U.S. Representative Juan.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say his
name. Ciscomani.
C.J.
Caramargin is going to be his representative, and we might get he's a friend of ours, and he might... They're doing that bill in Washington, D.C. right now that he's got to work on, and he's part of the budget committee, so Juan may not be able to be with us, but we'll do something with him later on down the line in August when he's here. He's here for the whole month of August, so we'll do something fun with him.
And if you do come by, we'll have people available that will allow you to get a behind-the-scenes look at the newest and greatest technology that McDonald's has put into the restaurants. We'll give you the tour of the prep line, all of the technology that goes into our delivery system that we partner with Uber Eats and DoorDash and Grubhub. So yeah, it's a kind of cool opportunity. We open up the doors and welcome.
It's amazing what you started with. This was say at Broadway and Country Club when we were given tours of that facility when you opened up 15 years ago, however long ago it was. It was amazing how new technology and people were marveling at and then you go to this one that you're running now, the technology is out of control. It's amazing, isn't it? It's just pristine. Go back there. It's almost like you're working in a laboratory. It's amazing how beautiful it is.
That's one of the coolest things about McDonald's and our brand. And it's worldwide. You know, you walk into our restaurants and they just look different. And, you know, I always take a peek behind the counter anywhere that I go, whether it's another fast food or restaurant, and, you know, look at their technology and look at the level of sophistication that is in their equipment. And McDonald's is always leading the way in that department. And, you know, from an owner perspective, sometimes it's overwhelming because of the amount of reinvestment that's required.
You just redid 22nd and Kolb, and we just opened that. It seems like we just opened it.
10 years.
10 years, and yeah. So we ended up having to redo the whole, not the whole thing, but the lobby part of it.
Yeah.
And Well, it's amazing how much wear and tear a restaurant gets in 10 years because, if I'm not mistaken, I'm going to make this up even if it's not true. Your 22nd and Kolb store is one of the highest volume stores in the region, if not in the West Coast, and you're open 24 hours and it just gets a lot of use. And so 10 years into it, you maybe need to redo the lobby.
Yeah. So we refreshed that. And it's not really about refreshing. It's about being cutting edge and ahead of the curve. And that's where McDonald's always wants to position us, and that's what our consumer demands and what they connect with. And so, yeah, McDonald's is very aggressive in that department, and I appreciate that about our brand.
Right.
Because if you don't do it, you become, you know, the Kmarts and the JCPenney's of the world that unfortunately don't thrive and don't survive long-term like our brand has and continues to do.
Right. And so your facility that you and I was in there with you the other day, and it's beautiful. You knocked down the old building, so those of us that have been in Tucson for a long time, it's right across the street from Park Place Mall. It's 6105 East Broadway at Broadway and Wilmont there, in between Craycroft and Wilmont there on the north side of the street. It's been there for a long time. The building has been there probably maybe since the 70s, Paul, maybe?
Yeah.
70s probably. And it had a huge basement. The size of the building itself, there was an equal size underneath the building. There was this huge basement down there, which really was nice for storage and stuff, but it really didn't serve much of a purpose in 2025. So you made the decision to knock the building down and move it 6 feet to the east, and you've got this beautiful new filled in the hole, mm-hmm. and you got this beautiful new building. So tell us a little bit about your team. You're working with a great group of people over there, and I got to meet some of them the other day. They're a great team. McDonald's, especially McDias, is really well noted for a great team, right? And you have everything from Kate, who's been promoted to CEO, all the way down to your newest hire, who's going to be hired next Tuesday between 9 and 5 at one of your restaurants. So.
Yes, exactly. So we now have 44 crew members at our new location. We hired 20 new people. Me and my team had the pleasure of hiring all these people. And it all goes into the training and development. Once you hire these people, and they're not in this new store for 2 to 3 weeks, we need to make sure they're getting the correct training and the correct development at the other stores so that mm-hmm. when the store does open, it can have a clean, new, fresh, and fast and be able to open and still make a great impression for all the new customers coming in. Because if a customer comes in and they don't have a great experience their first time,
right.
they're going to go and tell everybody, oh, the new store, don't even bother.
Right.
They're a mess. But no, we made sure that we trained our people and we hired the correct people to be able to do this. Because you can't also, with a new store, you have to hire the correct person.
There's right.
Because they have to move. They're going to be at a different location. Then they're going to be at the new location. They're learning all these new things. They're learning new technology and equipment. So being able to know to hire the right person, I also had to learn because
right.
I didn't hire a single person until this. So
right,
hiring
right.
20 people was an amazing experience. And it's also awesome because half of these people, it's their first job. So it's kind of special. I'm making a whole impression on all these people and their lives and an impact on them and their life skills. Exactly. They're learning, okay, I need to be at this store at this time and then I need to go to this store. Like just learning that and having that responsibility goes such a long way. And then someone already telling me like, oh, I am about to save enough money to buy a car, my first car. It's just so special to be a part of that experience. And it really is like,
it's wow. amazing how many people, when you ask them what was your first job, they say McDonald's. So many
one
people
in eight.
Say that. Yeah.
1 in 8 Americans, say McDonald's that. Is their first job.
It's pretty amazing, and it's pretty powerful. And when you think about it, with 23 locations in southern Arizona, you've got the town covered, and so people can even walk to their McDonald's if they need to because it's near their high school or near some place. And so, again, if you want to apply for a job, we've got a career fair coming up from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at all of the McDias McDonald's coming up on Tuesday. Then we have the ribbon cutting on the 23rd at 10 o'clock at 6105 East Broadway between Wilmont and Craycroft, just north of Park Place Mall there. You can't miss it. Right there on the corner. Beautiful, brand-new, gorgeous building. And so, Paul, I'm just going to ask you this one last question. How do you define success? Well, I'm looking at success. I see you. But how do you define success?
It's different for so many different people, and everyone has a different level of success. For me, success is being able to support our community at a high level. We're very, for me, I grew up playing sports, so youth athletics is big for us.
Yeah, thanks for sponsoring Coaches for Charity. We appreciate it. Yeah,
from Tenga Verde Soccer to youth athletics in our community. That's really what we're
success
we're
is giving back.
Yeah. So
Paul Diaz, thank you so much for what you do for Tucson, and thank you for the opportunity for Accurately Advertising to be part of your life. Lindsay, good luck to you in your management and ownership experience at McDonald's.
Thank you so much. We'll hope to see you all at the new store.
Yeah, 23rd, Wednesday at 10 a.m. Hope to see you there at the ribbon cutting. Thank you and enjoy.
Thank you, Ed.
Enjoy. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you. You're listening to The Morning Voice. Welcome back to The Morning Voice, and I am your host, Dr. Ed Ackerley. In studio with me is my brother, Bill Ackerley from Ackerley Advertising. Thanks, Bill, for all you do for The Morning Voice, and our 90-day intern, Morgan 2.0. Adam Ackerman is with us. He is finishing up his master's degree at the University of Arizona. This is Wonder, talking about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. We call it Wonder because of all the wonderful things happening, and it's kind of the mantra and the marketing thing that we do at the U of A. We talk about Wonder, all the good things happening. And this segment is sponsored by Caruso's Italian Restaurant on 4th Avenue and Hughes Federal Credit Union. Our guest for this segment is Carson Fools. He is the director of the Catalina Sky Survey at the University of Arizona. Good morning, Carson, to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So what is the Catalina Sky Survey?
Sure. So Catalina Sky Survey is a long-term project that's been going on at the University of Arizona in the Lunar and Planetary Lab. We've been running since about 1998, and our sole mission is to scan the skies each clear night looking for near-Earth objects. So these are asteroids or potentially comets that come close to the Earth and might pose an impact risk to the planet.
And so this is, all those science fiction movies about asteroids and comets hitting the Earth and so forth. You're really serious about this. You're actually trying to identify to see if anything in the next 100 years is going to actually make its way towards us. And if so, how do we respond to that?
That's exactly right. So we use up to 5 of the telescopes around Tucson every clear night to scan the skies for new objects. And we also conduct observations of recently discovered objects to refine our knowledge of their orbit to check if they will pose an impact risk to the Earth for the next 100 years.
What is the impetus behind this? This was started many years ago, but what is the impetus behind this? How did this all, the genesis of the powers that be, whether it be at NASA or whether it be at the scientists across the world, all got together and said, we need to have somebody kind of taking a look here and kind of looking out the rearview mirror to make sure we're not going to get rear-ended here by somebody. How did it all come about, and how did it get centered here at the University of Arizona?
Sure. There's actually a rich history of the work that went into it happening in Arizona. You know, all the way back to the theory, many decades ago by the Shoemakers, that Meteor Crater up in Arizona, they're one of the first that recognize that as an impact event. Mm-hmm. Previously, there was a lot of debate back and forth whether this was an impact event or something related to volcanology of the mm-hmm. region. But they mm-hmm. clearly showed, after analyzing nuclear blast craters, that this was something that came in and exploded.
And this was a remnant of what, in the history of the Earth, there were probably hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of impacts during the formation of the Earth. This just happens to be one that has survived that we can see, but this has happened a zillion times in the past, and this is what you're looking to see if maybe this might happen in the future. Right?
Absolutely. I mean, you can just look up at the moon and see the history of impacts close to the Earth. The reason we don't see so many on the Earth today is because of active geology. You know, the surface is turned over and impact craters erode.
We've kind of cleared out the solar system. They're out in the Oort cloud or out a ways from the inner planets. What back 4 billion, 3 billion years ago, they might have been some more stuff flying around that would have made an impact. And now it's farther out and not as active as it once was in the formation of the solar system.
Absolutely. The solar system has cleared out quite a bit, but there's always things changing and moving around, and that's really what we're on the lookout for.
And we've got one visitor coming in, which is just fascinating to me. It's the third one that we've seen in modern history. Tell us a little bit about 3-1 Atlas, an emissary from interstellar space.
Sure. 3-I Atlas.
3-I Atlas, I'm sorry.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. I could tell you the story of how we
got
first
it.
interacted with this object. So as I said, we are focused exclusively on planetary defense and watching for objects that come close to the Earth. As part of that, we run a service called NeoFixer, which is available to anyone with a telescope, from folks in their backyard all the way up to the largest telescopes in the world. The service is a way to identify targets in need of observing. And these are near-Earth objects. So we were sitting at an engineering meeting one afternoon, and we get an alert on our phone that there's something up with the system. And this happens fairly common. You know, someone will submit some improper observations or something you'll need tweaking and fixing. So we go and investigate, and there's this new object discovered by the ATLAS project. That's the Asteroid Terrestrial Impact Last Alert System from one of their telescopes in Chile. There's something up with this object. It's failing processing in our system. We can't figure out an orbit for it. It's happened sometimes. So we start looking at the observations. They all look pretty good. But we still can't figure out what this object's orbit is. And it's because the first assumption you make when you're discovering new objects in the solar system is that they're a part of the solar system.
Right.
We assume that they're in orbit around the sun. And when we relax that assumption, we say, well, what if the eccentricity or the curvature of the orbit is greater than one? What if it's hyperbolic? Well, then all the observations fit. So we're like, hey, you know, there's a chance that this is an object from outside our solar system. So that's how we got introduced to it. We could solve the orbit then and plot where it's going and then encourage others to do follow-up observations. And we did that until we were certain that this object comes nowhere near the Earth.
Right. And it one would ask the question then, is it orbiting around something, or is it making a beeline, kind of like the Pioneer orbiters that are just flying straight, and they come near a Saturn or a Jupiter or out in the Oort cloud, whatever, that they get near something there, their trajectory gets moved a little bit because their gravitational pull or even dark matter does some effect on them that gravity doesn't. Is this thing orbiting around something, or is it just flying by in a straight line never to come back again ever again?
So for us, it is pretty much going in almost straight line. The sun is curving it a little bit due to the effect of gravity. But for us, it is coming in and gone, and we will never see it again.
Right.
It is still bound to our galaxy, just like our star is. So there's not a chance it will escape that. Mm-hmm. But that's really it. It's just going to be bouncing around our galaxy forever.
For the millennia, yeah. This is what's mind-boggling to me. Can you estimate its speed as to how fast it is going? Because when you see it, it's moving across in your telescopes over a period of 30 days or whatever. You're actually seeing it really moving pretty quickly. And it's what is the estimated speed of it? Is it?
Whipping through our solar system at more than 100,000 miles per hour. It is really cruising.
It's moving, and it'll take it a while to get across. It'll take 6 months or so for it to get across the night sky, right?
That's right.
Because it's traveling at such, and it's also so far away that the farther away it is, the longer the distance is across the night sky, right?
That's right. You know, on its way out, it will appear. It will appear to us from Earth to kind of slow down on its way out.
As it's leaving the Doppler shift, it's just like when a car comes flying by you and you're standing, and it comes at you and then it goes by, and it's slower as it goes away.
Absolutely.
Even though when it came right by you, it was going what seems to be really fast, right? It's kind of this optical, physical, physics illusion that you get of depending on your perspective of where you're seeing something happening.
Right. That's absolutely right. In fact, that's one of the ways that we identify near-Earth objects is we can see asteroids in the main belt. They're always there, but they're moving fairly slow. Near-Earth objects tend to have a fast motion. That's right. How we can separate them out quickly.
And this is really important because if you have a fast motion and one of them is headed right towards Earth, you've only got a few decades or so to figure out, are you going to send up a nuclear rocket and try and blow it up? But that also creates problems because then that shatters pieces of rock in a variety of different other directions. What does that do to the other things that are in our solar system? What does that do to us? Do we just now, instead of having one big impact, we now have 10,000 little impacts, which
Absolutely.
Are making as much havoc as perhaps maybe one big impact would. So this is a lot of engineering that goes into this, of thinking forward of what we would do. Do we just go up and shoot a rocket to it and try to move its trajectory when it's so far away that it would just kind of miss the Earth? And that's another theory that some people have, right?
Right, and we have actually tested that with the DART mission that was sent up to impact a small moon around a larger asteroid to see how much we can deflect it with a regular non-nuclear kinetic impactor. And that test was a great success, and we actually changed the motion of that even more than we thought we could. Right. So I really like working in the field of planetary defense. It is probably the only natural disaster that if we know it's coming, we could actually prevent.
Right. But it is kind of it is going to be a challenge, because when you're going 100,000 miles an hour to try and get a rocket or something to meet it, and that try to match them up at the, you know, a million miles away or 5 million miles away and try and get those two things to meet up, the engineering to make that happen is just it's a miracle to make
Absolutely.
That happen. So we're trying to prevent a tragedy, but we're also trying to make a miracle at the same time. So it's pretty amazing. Hey, we're talking with this morning on Wonder, Carson Fools, who's the director of the Catalina Sky Survey at the University of Arizona, talking about 3i Atlas and other extraterrestrial visitors that we have. And people are familiar with comets and asteroids. We got one flying through the atmosphere right now that's pretty amazing. We'll talk more about that when we come back after the break. You're listening to The Morning Voice. Welcome back to The Morning Voice, and that's Matt playing the comets for us this morning. We're talking about asteroids and comets and near-Earth bodies that are flying by at 100,000 miles an hour. With us, our guest this morning for Wonder is Carson Fools, who's the director of the Catalina Sky Survey at the University of Arizona, where they're detecting things that might someday, some year, some millennia from now, might pose a danger to Earth. And so they look at them and make that determination. Right now, the skies are clear, right? We're okay for right now.
Absolutely.
From what we can see.
Yep, there's no object with any significant chance of hitting the Earth in the next 100 years.
That's great. So those of us that are alive now don't have to worry about it. But now you're crystal balling into the future of what might happen in 100 years or 200 years or 500 years, and you can predict that from the movement of some of these things out in the middle of nowhere, and they're coming towards the solar system or in the solar system, and having a huge, 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 huge orbit that maybe we haven't seen them in a billion years, but they might be coming back around, and that might pose a threat, and the two trajectories of their orbits might coincide, and boom.
Yep, that's what we're looking for.
Yeah, great. So let's talk a little bit about 3i Atlas, which is this fantastic thing. We don't really know how big it is, right? We can kind of guess how big it is, but it's...
That's right, that's a good point. It is a comet, so it kind of has a cloud of gas and dust around it, which is obscuring the body itself. So we have estimates that it's a couple of miles across, which right. is fairly normal for a comet, but that's all we've got right now, and that's probably all we ever will get.
Right, and it's speeding, too. It's going so fast that, the size, obviously, the physics of all of that, the size of it is important, but that's why it's going 100,000 miles an hour, is because of its size. And it's was it flung out into space, or is it just in a natural orbit that any normal comet would have?
So this one was definitely flung out into space, and because it in no way was related to our solar system. It's
right.
going much too fast to have ever been a part of our solar system. And we see this from time to time with other comets. You know, we'll discover one that's coming in from the distant outer solar system. It will kind of whip around the sun. And sometimes on their way out, they'll get kind of close to Jupiter or Saturn, and it'll give them an extra little kick on the way out. And that little kick is enough to send it out of our solar system
right.
and into interstellar space, never to return. And we believe the same thing happened with this object in a different solar system.
It might have gone around a star, a black hole. It might have even gone around another big giant planet like Jupiter or something, and given it that little bit of a kick that would kick it out of its orbit and then just send it like a punting a ball, just the way it goes off the field and off into the stands. Yeah,
right. It most likely was kicked out by a giant planet, but we'll never know for sure.
Right. Unless there's life on that comet that you could ask them in Klingon or whatever, which leads me to my next question. Obviously one of the big questions in astronomy is what is life? Who are we? Why are we here? How did we become life? How do we have these thoughts about will this thing hit us, and is this a problem, or all those things, all those hard questions that man has tried to and women have tried to answer over the last 10 zillion years. Is there life on 3 iAtlas. How do we know there might be the components, the molecular components for life?
So we're getting to work on that right now, and I haven't seen any composition information myself for this comet, but it appears from initial observations to be very similar in composition to the comets we see in our solar system.
Right.
So we're thinking water ice is volatile and a little bit of dust from rock.
And what this kind of tells us too, reading the tea leaves, is that we're in a pretty normal, our solar system is kind of average. It kind of has a star. Sometimes they have two stars, but ours has one, and we've got nine planets, eight planets, five planets, whatever you want to say, and we're kind of an average solar system with an average star, right?
That's absolutely right. If this object, you know, is very similar to the other comets that we see in our solar system, it tells us that, you know, when our solar system formed, when those comets formed, that formation mechanism is common across other star systems. And well, we know the Earth formed in our solar system, so maybe the formation of planets like Earth is fairly common.
That's great. Well, Carson Fools, we appreciate your knowledge and coming to us on the Catalina Sky Survey and telling us about 3i Atlas and traveling across. One of our sponsors for this hour is our good friends down at Caruso's Italian Restaurant. Here's a gift certificate to
well,
Caruso's.
You.
Take your friends down, and you'll have an out-of-this-world experience at Caruso's. Thank you for coming and being with us on Wonder this morning. Just a quick reminder that we have our Eat and Greet coming up on Thursday the 24th at 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Javelina at the Doubletree Hotel. If you're in the neighborhood, we'd love to see you. Lydia, Ted, Grant, Tom, and I will be there. Matt will probably be there. Bill will be there. Maybe Adam will be there. We'll all be there, and hopefully we'll see you there. Thank you, Carson Fools from the Catalina Sky Survey, to be with us on Wonder this morning, the good things going on at the University of Arizona. You're listening to KVOI, 1030 AM, The Voice, trusted local news and talk, and this is The Morning Voice.